Good morning, church. How's everybody? Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and back by popular demand, I get this request every year. Christmas according to kids. Let's roll it, Lee.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're gonna have, Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager and I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing,
glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
That baby has changed the world. His name is Jesus. Let's invite him in this place, shall we? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent Jesus. Thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit. Would you, Father, would our praises please you? Would it lift you on high? Send your Spirit. Glorify yourself in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
For a thousand times I sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my
so come on and sing now that our anthem's proclaimed. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." This morning, we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. This candle symbolizes the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God is with us. Therefore, we have hope.
Jesus.
children, you may go see Miss Teresa over by the Christmas tree.
Good morning, Larry, and everybody else. Good morning. Good to see you. You're such a friendly guy. Such a friendly guy. You're not harassing me, are you? Yeah, you are. Okay. All right, I thought so. Well, good to see you this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through the app. It's December 1st, church, and Christmas is on its way. So we got a pretty busy month, so I want to hit some highlights here of events that are coming up. Deborah Davis, I don't know if you know Deborah, she attends the early service. She is organizing a Christmas caroling tour. And if you would like to be part of that, there's a sign-up table outside this entrance on this side. Just go ahead and sign up and connect with her, and she can get you plugged in there. Our All Church Christmas party is next Sunday night, the 8th. Starts at 5:30 with a program in here that will be presented by the children, and then we'll move to the fellowship hall for our all-church meal. The Operation Christmas Child trip to the processing center is Friday the 13th, and that's always a great opportunity to serve and to see where these boxes are actually going to land their final destination. So if you want to be part of that trip, reach out to Naomi Wood, and she'll get you plugged in. Our men's breakfast is the 14th this month, Saturday the 14th at Wiley Baptist. And the Christmas workshop is the 15th. And I misspoke last week about the cost for the kids. I thought it was $9 or $10, but it's actually $15. So inflation has hit Christmas workshop. It's $15. The kids will come and make 9 gifts for their friends and family. And you can sign up your child online through the app or the website. Also, we need lots of servants for that day, so you can sign up on the app or website to serve as well. So as we pray this morning, I'm just asking the Lord to give me a fresh appreciation for Jesus coming, being fully God, inhabiting the body of a human person and being fully human at the same time. That's a big deal, church. I don't know if we'll ever comprehend it on this side of eternity. That's a big deal. I just need fresh revelation about that, or a deeper revelation. You may not need it, but I need it. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to speak to our hearts about that this Christmas season. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for God, just being who you are. And Lord, we'll never, with our finite minds, we'll never understand an infinite God. We'll never understand how absolute holiness can reside in absolute wretchedness, but still be pure and holy at the same time. And Father, as I think about that, Jesus coming and as fully divine, living in someone that's fully man, and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, fully God inside of us as well. And so, Lord, would you give me personally a fresh appreciation about what you've done for us? God, draw us closer to yourself this Christmas season. And, Lord, we can get so caught up in all the hustle and bustle and presence, which I'm grateful we have opportunities to get together as family and celebrate and do that. But Lord, the most precious gift that's ever been given was your Son. And so Lord, I just pray that that become a fresh reality to us this Christmas season. Lord, also I know that there are people that this is a difficult time for them, that they're having a hard time finding joy due to maybe a loss of a family member, or maybe there's friction between families. Father, I just pray that you do something supernatural in hearts this Christmas season, where joy just erupts in those that are having a hard time connecting with joy. Father, may this be a Christmas that we never forget. I pray that it's special for all of us. We love you. We thank you for opportunities to proclaim that Jesus is our Lord, and it's in his name we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go ahead and remind you of our giving options. Those are on the screen. The offering boxes are by the doors. We'll have several available for prayer after the service. If you have a prayer request and you choose not to come forward to have those needs prayed for, you can fill out a prayer request card, and you can drop those in the offering box as well. God bless.
To babe on bended knee.
Well, good morning again, church. Good morning. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. Neglected to welcome our live stream worshipers earlier. Glad you are worshiping with us as well. Marcia, a little birdie told me that you know somebody that's turning 95. Is that right? Woohoo! Happy birthday. You're doing great. 95, way to go. We celebrate with you. If you are a guest this morning, we hope you feel the love of Christ. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe and says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service. Would love to get to know you. Have a free gift for our guests. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you now to, you speak to us. Speak to our hearts with power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, part of the Advent reading this morning came from Matthew chapter 1. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This moment in time, as we enter this Advent season, this moment in time that we celebrate, this birth of Jesus, was, did you know that it even altered time itself? Is there another event in history that the calendar actually changed and began a new counting? The birth of Christ. It kind of drove me crazy back in my seminary days that they are trying to de-Christianize our calendar with instead of BC and AD. In academia, they are encouraging people to write BC before the Common Era and CE Common Era. And I didn't do it, but, you know, that's me. And I actually looked that up, the CE, the Common Era. I looked it up and was like, I wonder when that became a thing, when academia began to embrace that. And it was in the early 2000s that and if you can look it up yourself, Google CE, Common Era, and you'll see it for yourself. But it actually says right there as it's defining this term, it says it found it more palatable for non-religious people to use CE, Common Era, instead of AD, which is Anno Domini, which is the year of our Lord, translated the year of our Lord. So I just find it very interesting that this event that we celebrate, this birth of Christ, was forever changed our calendar. Isn't that awesome? So we began a sermon series. I preached a similar series about 10 years ago. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Today's message is Got Hope. This first Sunday in Advent is the Sunday of Hope. Now, hope, I want to define that word just a little bit. Hope is different than faith. And so kind of bear with me here. Faith is the confidence in the truthfulness of God right now, in this moment, today, the present. That's faith. We have faith that God is with us. We have faith that he lives inside of us, that he died for us. That's faith. Hope, Christian hope, is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of God's faithfulness, future. Faith, present, what we believe about in this moment. Hope is what we believe in the future. Whatever tomorrow brings, we have hope in Christ that he's already overcome it. Yes? So, two very different words, but they kind of work together. So we're gonna spend a little time working on this word hope and what it means for those of us in Christ. Hope in Christ, the first thing I want us to look at, hope in Christ is different than the world's hope. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So again, speaking of future, our future faith, our future hope, it's different than the world's hope. It's funny, I went back and looked at what I preached a similar sermon on hope about 10 years ago, and this tells you how our time has changed. I used the example last time, the world's hope, I said, 10 years ago, we hope for a 42-inch flat screen TV. Now, as I told the early service, I think for $29.95 we could all have one of those. So I updated that. So the world's hope, I hope I get an 85-inch 4K smart TV. That's a little more modern. That's the world's hope. But we as Christians, we have hope because Christ lives in us. It's totally different. The world's hope, I hope I win the lottery, versus Christian hope, I have hope because Christ has overcome sin and death. It's a very different thing than the world's hope. Secondly, hope in Christ proves to the world that we belong to Christ. Proves to the world that we belong to Christ. I was telling the early service that, I know Billy and I both get these, and I know several of our retired pastors have gotten these calls over the years. Sometimes you'll have a funeral home that will call and say, we have a family that doesn't have a pastor, doesn't have a church. Would you do a funeral for them? And several years ago, I agreed to do that for a family. Didn't know any of them, and I agreed to go to their house and meet with them about the service. And I walked in the home, and within 30 seconds, I could tell this family had no hope. There was no hope in the room because they didn't have Christ. It is a funeral, when we come to the end of this life, a funeral reveals whether we have Christian hope or whether we don't. Very revealing. Paul, I use this passage many times at funerals, 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul says, and they're discussing with the church in Thessalonica, they're discussing this whole idea of resurrection and what happens when you die and so on and so forth. And he says this, we do not want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We all grieve, but the grief of a Christian is totally different than the non-believer. I say it over and over again. We have hope because we have Christ. A Christian grieves, but it's a different sort of grief. It has hope attached to it. I say this all the time when at funerals. It has hope attached to it. And guess what? Hope has a name, Jesus. It is different than the world's hope, and it proves to the world. People see that. People see when we have the hope in Christ. They see that difference, and it proves to the world that we belong to Christ. Thirdly, and this kind of works hand in hand with the second point that I made, the third thing is that hope in Christ is not available to those outside of Christ. And that's not a ugly thing to say. It's just the hope, the Christian hope, if we don't have Christ, you don't have Christian hope. It stands to reason. Ephesians 2 says it this way. Remember that formerly you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world. So, guess what? Every one of us has been there before we came to Christ. Every one of us were separate from Christ. We were excluded from citizenship in Israel. We were foreigners to the promise of Christ, and we were without hope. And then he goes on, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He's saying, through the blood of Christ, we now have Christian hope. It's a whole different sort of hope. And we didn't have it. We've got Christ. Now we have that hope. And then finally, hope in Christ is opposite of despair and discouragement. You know, I know... the thing is, being despair and discouragement is not, we're, as Christians, we're not excluded from it, But I was telling the early service that it should be a short trip for us most of the time. That where we go through that valley of discouragement, it should be a short trip because we have Christ. Hope in Christ comes from God. Despair or discouragement comes from the devil. If you are discouraged, if you are depressed, anxious, those things, if you're being shamed, those things come from the devil, not from God. So I've got three things that I want to kind of ways that I've identified. There's more than this, but more ways I've identified to overcome discouragement and to reclaim the hope we have in Christ. The first thing I think that we need to know is that we need to expect trials in this life. If we're under the impression that if I accept Christ, if I become a Christian, then it's going to be smooth sailing from then on. I don't think any of us that have lived any sort of time at all after we've accepted Christ thinks that. And Jesus himself said, hey, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have trials. I'm not taking you out of the world. He said, but I've overcome the world. I'm greater than the trials that you will face. Peter again in chapter 1, 1 Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. So I believe the Lord would tell us that you're going to be in a fight, but through me, you're going to win. You're going to be in a fight, Christian, as my children, but you're going to win because I've won. I think for us as we expect and anticipate trials in our life, we don't when those trials come, I don't believe the Lord is calling us to run around going, yippee, I'm going through all this hardship. But the way we handle ourselves, the way we conduct ourselves through the trials reveals Christ, and it brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. I kind of think that there's a couple of perspectives. If you struggle with this, if you struggle with discouragement, these might be things that you are being victimized by. To expect victory without difficulties. If you expect victory without difficulties, you probably have been deceived into thinking that. Another perspective, if you struggle with discouragement, is to expect difficulty without victory. See, you can flip it both ways. Expecting victory without difficulties and expect difficulties without the victory. The victory comes through Christ. So, second ways that I think where we can begin to overcome discouragement, to set our heart and mind on God. I believe, I've said this so many times, I believe this right up here is a very powerful thing in our lives. What we put up here is a very powerful thing. Since Colossians 3, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Because what we put up here seems to attach itself here. However far that is, 12 inches or whatever. That's a short trip for those things that we put into our mind. The psalmist in 16 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I believe that when we set our hearts and our minds on God and on his goodness, several things can happen. God can change our attitude. Man, there's a word that comes to my mind quite often when I think about our attitudes, and the word is wallow. Do we wallow? Anybody besides me ever wallow? You know, when something's not going right, we just kind of wallow in it. And for all you you youngsters, y'all won't know what I'm talking about, but hee-haw, okay, some of you. Great theology came out of that show. But you remember the song, Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me. Yeah, that one. I mean, that's it. We do that, don't we? We wallow in that gloom and despair, and Christ wants to lift us out of that. He wants to change our attitude, set our hearts and our minds on Him. Get in the Word. He will encourage us. His great love for us. So when we set our hearts and mind on God, He can change our attitude. We can begin to see a big God and a little devil. Wouldn't that be good? We can become an encourager of other people. Y'all heard me use this. I've got all these little sayings. Actually, somebody made me some buttons a few years ago. I've got some of these buttons in my little sayings. But joy suckers. And that's when somebody walks into a room and all the joy in the room sticks to the wall. It just... And they're out there. Yeah, no, I'm not doing it again. And I jokingly say, if you've never met a joy sucker, it may be you. God wants us to be an encourager of people. When we set our hearts and mind on Him, we tend to be encouragers, and we begin to show praise. I love this passage out of Isaiah. It says, put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of discouragement. Man, can you picture Christ coming up behind you and just placing this garment of praise around you? And I've told this story before, but a friend of mine he taught me how to backpack several years ago, and he was backpacking and he wanted to fish. Y'all probably, many of you have heard this story, but it was raining. He and three pastors were sitting around in their tents just looking out the doorway of the tent, and it was raining and it was ruining their trip, and he was not happy. And one of the other pastors started singing praise songs, and this pastor friend of mine said, I was like, shut up. he didn't say it. He was thinking, shut up, I don't know. It's raining. This is my vacation. I'm trying to relax here. And then the other pastor started singing with him. And then it was a double. Shut up. And then finally he broke down and he began to sing. And he said the spirit in the camp just lifted. And guess what? The rain lifted. And they went out and they enjoyed their fishing trip. Put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of discouragement. Gives us hope. And then kind of tying in the last thing there on the ways that we can overcome discouragement, take our eyes off ourselves and place them on Christ. You know, I know that there can be medical reasons why someone struggles with depression. I get that, and this is not about that. But I think too many times we get fixated on our problems and our issues, and we let the enemy discourage us. And I tell some people that are struggling with that, I tell them, go find somebody to serve. Go work at the food pantry. Go volunteer at Love and Care Ministries. Go do something for someone else. Pack a shoebox. Help assemble shoe boxes. I mean, I just believe that when we're discouraged, we're just so inwardly focused. And Christ would lift us up and say, man, just put your mind on me and serve others and see if that doesn't lift you out of that despair. Put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of discouragement. Listen, I preached on this a few weeks ago, Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. But listen to the rest of this. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix our eyes on Jesus so we will not grow weary and lose heart. Always give a reason. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in Christ. So, speaking of taking your eyes off of yourself, I was thinking this morning as we were doing communion in the early service, man, if anybody ever had a reason to wallow, it was our Savior. I mean, he's sitting around the table, this meal, he's sitting around the table and he's got these men that he knows what's getting ready to happen. He knows, did you know that, by the way, the first thing he did, he washed their feet? And did you know that he washed Judas's feet? Did you know that? And he knew, just a little while later, he knew Judas would betray him. He knew Peter would deny him. He knew the others would scatter. And yet he washed their feet. And then he took the bread. And if anybody, like I say, if anybody had a right to wallow, I mean, you could just put yourself in Jesus' place. It's like, these are my best friends in this world. These guys have seen me raise the dead, walk on water, heal the lame, heal the leper. He had every reason to wallow, but instead he washed their feet and he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you. He said, when you partake of this meal, remember me. And I don't think the disciples fully right then got it, but they got it later. They understood what that meal, what he was saying. So we come to this meal, we come to this table, not as a perfect people, but as a repentant and forgived and redeemed people. So if you would just bow your heads in your own heart, confess your own personal prayer of confession before our loving and holy God. Father, we're humbled. Jesus, we're humbled. Thank you for your broken body and your shed blood that you did for our sake. May this bread and this cup be your body and your blood shed for us and broken for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Church, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward, please. Christ our Lord has prepared this table, is inviting you to his table. It's his table. It's not my table or our church's table. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come and partake. No one is required to do that. However, these two stations here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread. Dip the bread into the cup and partake in that manner. If you would like to be served with the individual elements, you can come to the center aisle. The altar rail is open as well. As you get the individual elements, you can return to your seat, partake of the bread first, and as you get your empty, you can discard those as you leave. Come.
I could not climb in desperation.
would tell us to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. That's good news, church. Good news to share. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.